Welcome to Scrum Lake. We are lakeside today.
I'd love to see you again. I'm going to turn my camera back on.
Oh, okay. I'm going to keep it going.
I talked way too much there, Ryan. Sorry.
That's okay. I saw Ryan's chat come in. I was thinking about Ryan stopping him anyway.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be rude, John. I apologize. That was a great segue you were doing there into the second episode.
It actually works out quite nicely because it ended up being a teaser.
Yeah, it was a teaser. It was great. Yeah. But I didn't want you to go too far because, Ryan was like, don't give away too much. Yeah, I just caught that chat there.
Was that on LinkedIn? Did you put it on LinkedIn?
No.
Just through Squadcast.
Oh, yeah. LinkedIn. Okay. Hang on. Let's have a look. Don't give too much away in the episode. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. It was good. Okay. I was like, hey, he's doing a great segue. Like, I want to pick up on that. Yeah. Yeah. You guys want me to step away for a break or anything? I know have to go.
I'm good to carry on whenever.
I'm going to give a
hard
2 seconds.
Hard stop. Okay. 2 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I want to be conscious of your time, Ryan. I know you have a hard stop. So.
It's only because my wife will kill me. She's
only because my wife. That's a pretty important.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Okay, welcome to episode 2 of Scrum Lake. John and Ryan are back with us. If you listened to the first episode, we talked about, we were lakeside at Scrum Lake, as John does and Ryan does in their Scrum Lake. So now, episode 2, we're going to dive a little bit deeper, go into the deep dive, maybe go down to the bedrock, talk about the structure, the values, all that good stuff here. So guys, let's dive into that. Where do you want to go here in the lake?
I think it'd be good to give perhaps a little overview, John, talk about some of the things, talk about the structure, where it came from and how that sits with Scrum. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Maybe do we do maybe an overview, or do we just start at the top and start diving down? Which kind of, you can go different ways through the lake. What do you think, man?
Let's give an overview. So I think for those people listening, Scrum is like a lake to John and I. Is the metaphor that we use for our workshops, Scrum Lake workshops. And it's because Scrum is like a system, it's complex. And to us, this lake, it has walls, it has boundaries. And it's supported at its base by a bedrock of values. And those bedrock of values are the Scrum values. They hold up the lake and they allow that lake to be deep, to have depth. They are layers of sedimentary rock. They are sprinkled, they are built, they grow and get deeper. And like I said, they are what our lake is built on. On top of those values, we have our theory. It's the heart of our lake. We have lean thinking. We have empiricism, and surrounding those, all still in the base of this lake, with our transparency, inspection, adaptation, our OODA loop at the base of our lake. So our lake is effectively built on our bedrock of values, but then supported on top of that with our core, with our Scrum theory, empiricism, and lean thinking. Above that, you then have the body of the lake, which is deep, but supported by that bedrock. And within that, you have things that are like you have your artifacts, you have a treasure chest, you have a scroll. I'm purposely not giving away what these are metaphors just yet, because we'll get into that in a little bit. But we have our explorers, we have a ship and a submarine to do some exploration. But everything that is Scrum exists within the lake, because as soon as you transcend, as soon as you go outside of the boundaries of our lake, as soon as you go outside of the boundaries of Scrum, you are no longer doing Scrum. And that's okay, but our lake is bounded to within Scrum. It's, John, what do you want to add?
Yeah, it's an ecosystem. And there appears to be a cycle through it, a cycle through the doing and the being, through the top and the bottom, and it goes round and round through that, through empiricism and lean thinking, but it's supported by that bedrock, and it's made possible because of the practices at the top. And that's good for everyone. It's good for the folks within the lake. It's good for the folks outside of the lake, because trust builds. The environment, by doing Scrum, by being, by embodying values, trust builds for everyone, because the pillars come to life, and then the water becomes clean outside of within the lake, and then the water beyond becomes clean, and stakeholders come to the lake and they work with us, and it just gets better. It's a better environment. The lake, Scrum Lake, like Scrum, sustains a wider ecosystem of the organization, and customers and people beyond. And by doing Scrum and by being agile and embodying values, it's good for everyone. But I think so often it's not. I think so often you don't have that duality within teams. You don't have that duality within organizations, and you certainly don't have the visual metaphors for people to see that duality. Scrum Lake is very visual and allows people to explore that and that duality, and how that affects people beyond Scrum.
Yeah, I was thinking while you were talking there. So you asked me in the last episode, John, what was I surprised about from my time at Scrum Lake? And I said that folks struggle with the values at the bedrock there. So what do you guys think? What would happen to someone if, you know, they're doing Scrum and they just stay at the top of the lake? They don't dig into the bedrock. What's going to be the outcome?
Can I share a story? Would that be okay from a past life?
For sure.
I was on a WebEx. It must have been 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And I was with another chap. We were agile. We were doing Kanban at the time. We were agile. So it must have been 10 years ago. we were doing Kanban. We saw ourselves as agile. We maybe weren't doing agile, but I think we were. We were on the WebEx. People were talking about kind of development life cycle and things, and the process and the steps that you follow on the process. There were about 15 people on the call, and someone said, and then you generate the code. And me and my colleague look at each other. Well, that sounds interesting. I said, do you want to ask what that means? Okay, cool. What does that mean? So my colleague comes and says, we're just really interested. I guess a good Scrum Master, you want to make these things transparent. You want to understand that. You just mentioned, and then you generate the code. That sounds really fantastic. That sounds really cool. Are you a tool? Are we doing anything? How's that code generated? And the chap goes, oh no, that's when we give it to the developers and they generate the code. I think that is the process of software development. That is the Tayloristic view. That's the complicated view that I experienced back when I went through that Prince 2 transformation. It's a process, and the software development is a small little chunk where you just generate the code. You follow the process and out pops the code. mm-hmm. and you use the code. That's not agile. That's just people following a process.
Yeah.
And that's not based on empiricism and lean thinking. And I'm going to riff off that. In a previous life, and this is a lean thinking thought puzzle. If you want to dig a hole, you don't really want diggers. You just want holes. The diggers waste. You don't want diggers. In the same way, you don't want software. You don't want the mobile phone apps. You want business problems solved. And if you get away with not having software, you get away with not having software. So by breaking it down into a process and just you generate the code, you aren't really resolving user need. You aren't really empowering people to understand what people really need and giving folks the flexibility to come up with something innovative, which will exceed what people need. You're just breaking it down into a Tayloristic set of steps where you've got this thing, you go through all of these steps, and then you have this thing as a specification. It's waterfall, yeah? And then you just generate that, and then it comes out, and then it doesn't work, or it doesn't give you what you want. And it certainly doesn't satisfy the customer. It might do. Right. You might be very lucky, but it won't satisfy the customer. But Scrum's power and Agile's power, Agile Manifesto, it's not about, and then they just generate the code. And I'm just hooking off the back of this. It's not about just generating the code. It's truly cross-functional. It is truly revolutionary. It's about empowered and engaged individuals who are empowered to be awesome and work and understand user needs and deliver something of value every sprint if you're doing Scrum. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think that's the danger of just teaching the process. That's the danger of people following the process. It's providing a very complicated, in Kinevin terms, a very complicated solution, but it's not actually making customers' experience better. It's not actually resolving things. To do that, it's bigger than following a process. You need the values, you need lean thinking, you need empiricism, you need to grow software through people. And I think even in how many years after all of this has been discussed, Agile's so old, Scrum's so old, new product development games so old, but yet we're still talking about complicated work where we do all these things and then we just generate code. That's not my Agile.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, you have any take on that?
Well, I was kind of bringing it back to metaphors. Everything's complex. Like John was saying, sometimes things can appear simple, but actually complexity lives within Scrum. It lives within Lake. It exists because of complexity. And for us, I think that's why our Lake at its surface is choppy. It's shallow. Shallow execution of Scrum is very mechanical, zombie-like. It may well achieve an outcome, whether that's the outcome that you desire. But our Lake is, as you get deeper, as you explore more through Scrum, things become clearer. That's where you might find your treasure chest. You might find your value. But equally along the way, you might find things. You might find sharks, you might find your impediments, you might find octopuses in the form of technical debt that just wrap their tentacles around your product, around your code, the thing you are developing. The Lake is complex.
Yeah.
I think that's because people are complex.
Sure.
Then it's the zombie Scrum stuff, and yeah, we love the idea of zombie Scrum, but how do you enunciate that? People are complex. People are fabulously complex, and it's through them working together. It's through them sharing their stories with each other, and understanding what customers need and having empathy with each other and customers, that's where you get true value delivered. And that isn't about following a process. That's about people working together to understand what their process is within some enabling constraints.
Yeah. So I was thinking as you guys were talking, so as we, if someone's never been to Scrum Lake before, which I'm sure a lot of listeners are here, some have been, I've been, as we go down into the lake, how, what am I going to learn about the, what can I expect to learn by going into the bedrock, the deep dive? Am I going to learn about all the values, or how am I going to learn that? How do you take me through that? Just, can you go through that a little bit for
sure. For yeah. So our workshops are structured in kind of two different ways. So sometimes we share them, we publicize one to say, we are going to take a look at, let's say, accountabilities. We're going to take a look at the artifacts. And then we'll work a path through the specific one we've advertised. But sometimes we have a free dive, which we did recently. We turn up, we don't know what we're going to look through. We dot vote our kind of simplified version of the lake, and I think we chose to go through accountability the other day. And we tend to start at the surface. So the surface is about sharing true stories, being real. And then as we kind of translate, you know, as we get a bit deeper through the lake, we pull stories, we pull those real stories down, and as groups, we break them apart. We talk about what's good, what's maybe not so good, what are the actions, what are the areas of improvement. Particularly as we get deeper, that's where we use language from the Scrum Guide, and we'll tear it apart. What does that mean to you? How was that to you? Has it ever not been like that to you? So talking about those rules, when we break them, why they're broken, why they shouldn't be broken, why it's important that is a boundary in Scrum. So to answer your question, Greg, I'm going to answer it by saying I can't answer it. I don't know what people are going to learn, what they're going to do. All I can say is that sometimes a topic is advertised and that's what we will discuss. But the knowledge, what they're going to learn, is from the participants. It's not driven by John or I. Facilitators.
Yeah, right. It's the output of the conversations. It's probably worth, maybe I'll dive down and I'll just, I think Ryan, a great example of the story, but if I can just go through that again, say we were talking about accountabilities. So a load of folks turn up to Scrum Lake. We go to Lakeside. We talk and share about it's a safe place. It's about listening to each other. It's about sharing stories. It's about sharing metaphors. And we do the kind of the getting to know each other and what people need from each other, whatever else. And we do all that Lakeside talks about 10 minutes. And then we jump in. And we start at the top. So let's say we're doing accountabilities. Everyone's dot voted. And most people want to explore accountabilities in detail. They want to really break down what accountabilities are in Scrum and why that's important. So we get to the top. So in Scrum Lake, as Ryan just said, the surface is turbulent. It's shallow Scrum. Yeah, it might be a shallow lake. There might be really bad weather in the organization around you. Mm-hmm. The water may be really choppy. You may not be great at swimming, and the folks around you may be new to it. They may be just paddling in the water. And it could be really muddy, because in that shallow lake, it could be really muddy. It could be low transparency. It could be all of these things. So we invite folks to share a story. And we use the metaphors. We use the metaphor on accountability, the metaphor of a submarine as the metaphor for a Scrum team, a kind of a vehicle for self-managing, for exploring. And it contains the oxygen. It contains us. It's a container for the Scrum team. And we all fit within it. But we invite folks at the surface to put on a post-it note. And the question is, share a story where your own lake was turbulent due to misaligned Scrum accountabilities. So let's get real here. Let's share real stories with each other about when we had a turbulent time. And we've all had turbulent. I've had turbulent times. Everyone has. We maybe don't talk about them because we don't have places where we can talk about them. Perhaps people are new to Scrum. Perhaps people didn't see value in things. Perhaps people wanted to control things or adjust things. Or perhaps people didn't want to change anything. people share their stories and we all play it back a bit like a retro, and everyone shares the stories and people go, oh yeah, yeah, that was cool. And then we break it down. We go into breakout rooms and we construct new stories from those stories. We, into breakout rooms, construct two unique stories, which are a summary of everyone's real life stories or fictional stories from the past. And then we break down in breakout rooms all the good things about the stories, all the positive things about the stories, because often we don't explore the good when we see the bad. So we explore all the good things as a group, five or six people, four or five people. So all the possible good things. Then as a group, five or six Scrum Masters break down all the less good things. And these are tricky stories. These are real life scenarios or amalgamated scenarios that five Scrum Masters have come together to construct. And there's a lot of really tricky real situations that you see in the real world that you don't really see in training, or you don't really have conversations about. And people explore and talk about all those things that are less good. And that's cathartic. People are saying, well, yeah, I'm in the Netherlands and I experienced this. Or, oh yeah, I'm in Dubai and I experienced this. I'm in Texas. So people around the world are sharing these good and the bad stories about the things, which are all very similar. We've all experienced different things.
Yeah.
So what was good? What was less good? Okay, that's cool. It's good to share. But that's transparency inspection. It's not about adaption. We want, as Gunther said, you need adaption. You need all three. You need to actually do something about it. Right. You need to change something.
That's right.
So in that scenario, we acknowledge the good, we acknowledge the less good. As a group of five or six Scrum Masters, what are all the possible options? Let's brainstorm everything that we could possibly do. And we explore all those options. We talk about all those options. And we put them on post-it notes and discuss them. And it gets really interesting. And we talk about, as a group, what stops the good becoming good. So what's stopping the good becoming good? And what impact does the bad have on us? And folks ask questions to each other and pick it apart in real finite detail, in true detail. And we come up with some really complex options in that breakout. And then we come back together again and we switch and we share with each other all of those stories. And people have learned that the environments or the systems, the things that they're experiencing are not unique. The things they're experiencing are other people are experiencing as well. And they've come out with some real things that they can take forwards, options that might work in their scenario that have worked for other people. It's the whole is bigger than the parts. It's not things that you could think of on your own. You might have thought of them, but you've not had the space. You've not had a clean working environment with other people to bounce your ideas off. So these might be your ideas that you thought of, but you haven't been able to enunciate. It could be the thing that you're challenged with at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you've come up with your own solution, which has been melded on with five or six Scrum Masters and coaches from all around the world. And you come away with some options. So that's a real detailed walkthrough of just one of the exercises in Scrum Lake. But mm-hmm. hopefully that gives you, and hopefully gives all the listeners, a sense of just, 30 minutes, 25 minutes of a Scrum Lake workshop. Mm-hmm. And we continue on that. We continue that journey. We continue doing that really important, deep work that Scrum Masters don't get in their normal environments.
Yeah. Thank you for that, John. Yeah. That's what I wanted to get at, was that structure there. I've been through that. So the breakout sessions, I can tell everybody, if you've never been there, the breakout sessions are really, really wonderful that John was talking about. One's led by Ryan, one's led by John usually. And the smaller sessions is where these Scrum Lake is small, right? From my experience, it's been, 14, 15, 16 people. And then you break out the sessions, usually seven or eight per breakout group. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we started at between 15 and 20, but actually, John, I think we're bringing that down. Actually, the next few, doing about 12, because we just felt that it's about connections. It's about personal stories. And We want people to become involved. The passive participant is not about being a passive participant. It's about fully engaging. And we want to give everyone an equal opportunity to be able to do that and share their stories. And if they say, you know what, this is something that is really important for me to discuss, I want to work with you guys. When your numbers are too high, that's
too
many. Yeah. So we're experimenting, right? We're doing Scrum. We're finding out what works for our participants. Greg, we ask for feedback at the end of every session. Mm-hmm. If people don't like things, then we genuinely do. John and I meet once, maybe twice a week, and we act on that feedback and improve things.
We've actually adjusted the size up and down. We started smaller, people said we wanted it to be a bit bigger because we want more conversations, more insights. We made it bigger, and then folks said, oh, it could be a tiny little bit smaller. So we're now adjusting it to make it a tiny bit smaller. And you know what? You know, like when you have a retro where it kind of sometimes kind of goes backwards and forwards.
It does.
I think this is going to be one of those ones where we just flex it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's building a product. You want to build something that is valuable and does the right things. We want to listen to feedback and make those slight adjustments to make it even more effective and enjoyable for everyone next time.
Well, that's based on what you just said here. I'm going to take the opportunity. So, if you heard what John and Ryan said, that they're shrinking. Well, this is March, so who knows by the time this comes out where we'll be. But we're shrinking. They are shrinking the classes down to about 12. So, once again, if you're listening to this, the code is going to be Scrum Lake. Email that to me, Greg Miller at the Agile Within. You'll be entered into a contest to win tickets to the now shrunken down Scrum Lake. So down to 12 people. So you want to get a hold of these tickets. They're going to sell out even faster. So go ahead and email me, get into the class. You'll want to get into that. So great. Yeah. So it's good that you're listening to the feedback, just like Scrum, taking into consideration and adjusting and adapting. That's great. So yeah, we went through the structure there. We went through the deep dive. We got down to the bedrock. Anything else to talk about on this area?
Yeah, so I think we dive in. So say if we're going through accountabilities, you've done that kind of exploration of the side where it wasn't working, where it's less working. Then we go deeper. Then we start breaking apart the Scrum guide. So we talk about on accountability. You talk about the Scrum team as a submarine. So we use metaphors in Scrum Lake an awful lot. And by metaphors, I mean when something that is like something else in clean language terms. And these are our metaphors. This is mine and Ryan's metaphors. So to us, a Scrum team is a bit like a submarine. Or it's like a submarine. It's a self-managing vehicle of exploration. And the Scrum team fits within the submarine. The submarine has oxygen, and our metaphor for oxygen, well, the metaphor is oxygen, but that's trust. Trust brings people to life, and it's needed to dive mm-hmm. deep. It's needed to go yeah. deep. It's needed to be exploring within a lake. It's the thing that sustains, the thing that grows, and you need to live the values. But anyway, we're going, that's even deeper. But we have this Scrum team like a submarine. Again, Ryan talked earlier about the dot voting. Scrum Lake is different because we don't know where it's going to go. So as a group of 10, 12, 15 people, folks don't vote on the Scrum Guide. Scrum Guide is broken across post-it notes. And they vote on the bits of the Scrum Guide that they want to inspect in real detail. So they want to do. So we made the Scrum Guide transparent. We can see it all broken into shards. It's all over on post-it notes. We then ask folks which ones they want to inspect, and they dot vote on the parts that they want to inspect. And then we go into more breakouts. So we take a couple of those and we take them down onto the next, to much deeper level of the canvas, where we break in the depths, we break apart that guide in details with those Scrum Masters. And there's some really, really a wide variety of thinking of Scrum Masters all over the world. And we break apart the guide of what that means. So if you take a bit of the Scrum Guide and, for example, let's do one. They're self-managing, meaning they internally decide who does what, when, and how. Mm-hmm. There's a statement right. from the guide, yeah. So as a group, what does that mean to you? What does that truly mean to you? And, yeah, why is that important to you? And is it important to you? Maybe it's not important to you, but why is that important to you?
Right.
And how does it do it? But these are questions. These are questions that, as Scrum Masters, we don't ask of ourselves. We don't pick that apart in that much detail. We do this in retros. This is fascinating. We do this kind of work with teams in retros all the time. It's all about transparency, inspection, adaption with teams, yeah? Mm-hmm. We make things transparent, folks inspect, and then they make adaptions. But we don't do it on our own discipline as much. We don't really get to the details of what that means. We break it apart and then we pull in scenarios, we pull in people's personal metaphors, we pull in stories of when it happened from when it didn't happen for it and why is it important. And then we switch and share again. So again, it's that breaking down and then coming up with, well, what does that mean and how would I adjust how I'm working and how I'm thinking, and should I adjust, and what metaphors can I attach? Because metaphors are a powerful tool within the brain for attaching meaning. So metaphors are deep within the brain and it's a great way of retaining learning. So we're doing that deep work that we do with teams, but we're doing it with ourselves. We're doing that self-care that we don't get the opportunity to do with other Scrum Masters from around the world. Right. And we're now 2 hours in. We've done a couple of those. We've had a really good time, which is weird because it's a Saturday night and it is folks from all around in lockdown. That wasn't a great time.
Yeah.
And we've had fantastic feedback off this. It's like,
I know.
It's amazing. Like people are saying this is what I need. I haven't got this. I haven't got a place to actually do this work, which again I find really surprising that we preach this almost. We kind of say this is what needs to happen. We kind of it's a projection on folks. But are we doing this work within our COPs? Are we doing that continuous improvement for ourselves,
right,
or at that deep level, or not? Are we just reading books and taking courses? Or are we doing real co-creative work with other Scrum Masters and building this stuff and building the knowledge and experience for ourselves?
Right. Practice what you preach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. And I know, I don't think I've stuck around. Sometimes you stick around afterwards, like it's 10 o'clock and you stick around and kind of talk with people afterwards too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think John tended to, I think you stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning at some point.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Yeah.
I have a very young child. So unfortunately, I can't stay awake quite as late as John. But we do stick around if people have questions just to talk about. Yeah, it's not necessarily about Scrum Lake, but it's usually around Scrum. So we talk to people about what was the last one? People were talking about just starting a new role. How would they start off a new role as a Scrum Master? They've never been one before.
Yeah. Right.
We talk about assessments. We talk about. Everything and anything.
I think that's I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry for jumping in and we do. I just wanted to say it's not me and Ryan necessarily. We facilitate it. We reflect on that journey. People have shared stories. People have built empathy with each other, built trust with each other. It's a true collaborative event. So someone saying, well, I'm starting as a Scrum Master here, people will say, well, yeah, we're kind of, what's it like? And people tell stories and come up with strategies of what they want to do. It's not us telling people. We obviously share our experiences as well and sort of knowledge on these things. But it's a group effort. It's the folks at the workshop working together and discussing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah. So yeah, thanks. We went all the way down to the deep dive, to the bedrock, the structure. That's I learned a lot about that. So anything else on the second episode?
I think that's just, it's worth saying that's one strand of this.
Yeah. And
I've talked quite in depth actually about the journey through accountabilities down to the, to the sandy before you get to the bedrock. Every workshop we've done is completely different because it's been a different mix of people. Some we've explored different values. Some we've, you know, we've explored events. We've explored artifacts. We focus in on to empiricism. We focus in on lean thinking. We've gone where people want to go. So each one I've learned and grown from different ones. And I want to carry on coming to these myself. I want to, because I want to keep on building my knowledge and experience and learn from others. So it's more than just one thing. And we could, I could keep on talking about it. I could talk about all the values and the bedrock, but I've just given us a little snippet of part of our mental model. We have a lot more metaphors and a lot more images in here.
Yeah, I know they're all, I think I've been to three or four, and they all have been different, to your point. Yes, they've all been slighted, and I've gotten so much out of them. So for everybody listening here, we do have to be conscious of time. Ryan has to get out of here soon. He's got a young child to take care of, and I think his wife is going to kill him, I think, if he doesn't get out of here soon.
You know what? I'm glad.
What he told me during our break.
Master, so that she won't be listening to this.
She won't be listening to this. Okay, yeah. So for our listeners, we don't want Ryan to die. So yeah. So, and let's just be transparent. So this is our second episode, and the three of us have discussed whether we want to have a third episode. So what do you guys think? Do we want to have a third episode, or do we want to just call this the second one and the end of it?
I think there's a lot more scope that we can talk about. It's whether you believe your listeners would find it valuable. I think we can talk about impacts. We can talk about some specific metaphors. It's entirely up to you, Greg.
So, okay. All right. So everybody, I get to make the decision. So yeah, I say we do a third episode. I'm excited. I really enjoyed this. I hope everyone listening has. So we'll wrap up the second episode here, and we will let Ryan go, let Ryan and John go. It's late over there. And once again, remember to send me an email, gregmiller@theagilewithin.com, with, on this episode, it's Scrum Lake. Enter the contest to win tickets to Scrum Lake. It sells out quickly. You heard that they have now possibly reduced their attendance down to 12. So you want to do that quickly. These tickets will go very quickly. So that wraps up this episode. Please reach out to me. Subscribe on any of the podcast apps you're listening to. Contact me with show episodes, suggestions, comments on this episode. If you've liked this, what we've been talking about, please let me know. I really appreciate that. And don't forget to reach out. I have a new Patreon. If you want to support the show, there's a link in my episodes through Patreon. I would appreciate any monthly contributions you guys want to support the show. If you're really enjoying it, I really enjoy giving this to everybody here like John and Ryan do. So thank you for joining us. Look forward to the third episode. So this has been Greg, John, and Ryan. Thanks for joining us, Agile Within, where we help you to be more agile.